All right, take your Bibles, go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. If you have trouble finding that, don't tell nobody. That's a pretty easy one. Genesis, chapter number 1. Make it a little easier. Verse 1. All the way to the beginning. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. I hadn't preached from here in a long time. When you find your place, you've been seated a while, let's stand with reverence God's Word as we read. First two verses of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Thank you. You can have a seat. That'll be all we read this morning. Very familiar text. I'm sure all of you probably have that memorized. Probably read it as you started your Bible reading many, many times. You've probably read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'll start out by saying I still believe God created the heavens and the earth. I know that's not a popular view these days, but that's still God's view. It's still right. And there's probably never been any scripture in the whole entirety of the Word of God that's been more debated and more threatened and more conversation of trying to pull down what God has said than Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And the reason being because the devil knows if he can start at the beginning and tear that down and put doubt in the minds of people, then the rest will easily follow. But I'm interested this morning in a phrase found at the end of those two verses, chapter 1, verse 2, where the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'll preach on this subject this morning, and the Spirit of God moved. And ain't you glad God's still moving in 2020? If you had any doubt about that this morning, He woke us up this morning, or if you're still sleeping, you didn't need an alarm clock this morning. For most of us, your house began to shake and rumble, and God just showed us again just how powerful He is. And He is the Almighty God. But as we look at this phrase and think on this thought about the movements of God and trying to trace and track the movements, God moves all the way through the Word of God. And He didn't stop at the book of the Revelation. God's still moving. Thank God He's moved in my life. He's moved in the life of this church. He's moved in your life. Whether we give credence to that or not, God is still moving. And if there's ever been a time that we need God to move, it's in this day and hour we're living. And so let's go to God's Word and see what He has to say. And I just want to take these verses word by word, phrase by phrase, and we'll dissect it and try to stay right in these two verses. Do you realize in 2020 we have the best methods in the church that we've ever had? There's more methodology and ways to attract people than the church has ever had. We have better buildings and the finest facilities the church has ever had to reach the world. There's preachers with more education, singers that do a great job at singing in this day and age. But do you know all that is irrelevant without the moving of God? We need a true move of God. All is vain unless the Holy One come. We need God to move. We cannot fabricate the movement of God. That is something so real and genuine that only God Himself can do it. And anything done apart from the movement of God is done in vain. We'll have no fruit. We all stand in need of a mighty move of God this morning. Amen. So let's look at this. Number one, let's look at how the world and look at the world that God moved upon. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. That's what the Bible said. In the beginning, God created. That word created, God didn't step out into chaos and create. There was no chaos that He had not yet created chaos. It was just nothing. And God didn't even step out into to nothing and create, because there was nothing to start with. There was absolutely nothing but God when He started creating. God didn't even step out into time. No, my friend, there was no time when God started. God is the creator. There was no molecules, atoms, protons, and neutrons there floating around in the atmosphere. No, God had to create them too. There was absolutely nothing that, and that's what God started with. When God stood up and began to create, He didn't step out into darkness because there was no darkness to step out into. He didn't step out into time. There was no time to step out into. God began with less than nothing, and God created it all from nothing. Verse 2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form. And that word, without form, speaks of worthlessness. Makes sense because when God started to create, there was, here it had, the water had not, there was water, but it had not been separated. The salt water and the fresh water, they're murky together all over the face of the deep. And therefore, the water was tainted and it was worthless. The soil that was here, it was covered by the waters and it could produce no nutrients for that very reason. And so therefore the soil was even useless and worthless. It was a world, but it was an uninhabitable world. No one that could produce, not one that could produce or sustain or reproduce. And that's why the Holy Spirit said that it was without form. It was absolutely worthless without the touch and the move of God. And it goes on and says it was without form and void. The word void means to be empty. And how many of us used to pay our bills with a check? Remember that? Remember them old days? You'd write your bills out and pay with checks. Some of you may still do that. Probably still have a phone book too. keep it on hand. The places will be calling to get those to put them in some kind of... what do you call them? Museum here soon. But I remember when me and Jenny got married, we'd write our bills out and write the checks out and send it in. And at the end of the month, you remember, they'd send you all them checks back. You remember what would be wrote on that check? Big or stamped into it? Void. Remember that? Well, you know what that meant? Simply meant, it meant that check no longer held the value. It was no longer full of value and money. It was void. It was empty. $138.25, it was absolutely not worth the paper it was written on anymore. It had been cashed out. It was absolutely empty. And the Bible, God used this word void. He said the earth was void, without form and void. I wrote down, who knows what the word written on those checks, and I ain't talking about the word bounced. No, void. And that check means empty when it's that way. And God said that this word was void and empty. And oh, how it is in every part of our life and the world. When God has not moved, it's absolutely worthless and empty. Has no value. What have you done in life that has any value or merit to it that God has not first moved? If you think about any major parts of your life or mine, there was first a moving of God. Anything that's eternal started with a movement of God. Amen. And then verse 2 goes on and says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That word darkness has two meanings that I jotted down. Literally it means the absence of light. And imagine how dark this universe was before God moved. God speaks of a darkness that we cannot even comprehend. It's not just the absence of light. There had never been light to become absent. It was absolutely nothing. It was a wasteland. It was darker than 1,000 midnights. And so it was not just... where darkness had never been. There had never been the presence of light. There had never been any light to dissipate and disappear. Secondly, though, not just literally, but figuratively speaking, the word darkness means miserable. darkness, I thought about, how many of you like to sleep in the dark? When I was a child, things would happen, I'd get scared of the dark. I would. And I remember I'd go cut a light on, and one of my brothers would come cut it off, and I'd go cut it back on. And one of my brothers cut it off. I was scared of the dark. But the older I got, and that fear moved away. Listen, I can't stand the light to be on when I'm trying to sleep. That's about all, to me, that's about all darkness is good for, is to sleep. But when you think about darkness, and Brother Alex, you praying about going to Iceland, and you know over there, the sun sets and it don't rise again for months. It's just darkness, and there's places like that all over the world. And do you, if you study and look into it, this is a fact, that when that sun sets and it becomes dark for a long period of time, the suicide rate and the depression rate goes through the roof. I'm saying darkness is misery. And God used this word darkness to describe what this world was without Him moving. It was a miserable place. It was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know what you can't do? You can't live and abound in darkness. The Bible says that men shall be lovers of darkness rather than lovers of... Listen, sin will abound in darkness. Sinners will abound in darkness, in sin, but there's a way for that. I'm saying you will never get ahead. You won't get ahead sinning. And if we're saved, there's nothing out in the dark that should allure us. We are children of light. We ought not to walk in that way no more. And God's saying, if you want to live that miserable life, you'll do it in darkness. But now that we're children of light, listen, we don't have to live in misery. We don't have to live in darkness. I didn't come this morning. Listen, I know that was a bunch of probably boring definitions. I didn't come this morning to give you an etymology lesson and to define all these and give you all these definitions, but we do need to understand, and I believe it's vitally important to see what kind of world the Spirit of God moved on. God decided to move on a world that was less than nothing. It was a world that was worthless, a world that was empty, a world that was miserable. And blessed be the name of the Lord. That's exactly what God chose to move on. Ain't you glad? God don't have to have something to move on. Ain't you glad it don't have to be just right for God to move on? No, He takes the worst of situations, and that's the world that He will come and inhabit and move upon the face of the deep. Absolutely. Do you realize that God didn't wait for the Rocky Mountains with snow-capped peaks to touch the blue skies? No, God didn't wait for the blue oceans to crash upon a white sandy beach. God didn't wait for the Blue Ridge Mountains to be decked with its beautiful fall foliage. No, my friend, God went to a worthless world, to an empty world, and God moved where there was nothing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 God went to a worthless, empty, miserable world, and there is where He said, I'll move. You say, preacher, why are you so tore up about that? Well, because if God will move on an empty, worthless, miserable world, I have a feeling He will come and move in my little world. Amen. Amen. May I say to you this morning, somewhere in America or in this world lives a drunkard in a rescue mission with a borrowed blanket and with the smell of alcohol permeating through his pores, lying in a miserable, empty, worthless world. And there's a drug addict laid in a drug house in a filthy floor and a family that misses them, and they are laying in a miserable, empty, worthless world. And it seems that it's less than nothing, but I'm glad this morning that a child of God can offer hope and tell them that there's a God who will come in to that empty, worthless world that they're living in, and He can move in power and bring something beautiful to every sinner. The Lord shows up in worlds just like that and moves. I know that firsthand. Amen. I don't see many drunkards in here this morning, probably go to bed in a drunken stupor, or those that will go to bed this evening with a needle in their arm. Could I say to you this morning, there's empty, worthless, miserable worlds in 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses. With wealthy and healthy children down the hall and a new car in the driveway. That there are people living in this world of emptiness and worthlessness and absolute misery. You don't have to be on some long drunk this morning. You don't have to have drugs crawling through your veins. Hey, listen, there's people all around us that are living in a world that is full of misery and heartache and emptiness and brokenness. And ain't you glad this morning that we have a God and serve a God who will come into that world and move? Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. That's where God moves. That's how He started this whole thing out, with a place where it was without form and void and darkness. And God said, that's where I'll go and move. Oh, yes. The very first time we see God move is in a world of emptiness and miserable and worthless world. So we see, number one, a world that God moves in. But also, number two, the way that God moves. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I got interested in that phrase. God moved. I looked up that word and I studied the word where God said for the first time that the Spirit of God moved. And as critical as it is that God move, we need God to move. We need to understand what God's saying. And so right there in the beginning of your Bible, God said that He moved. So that word, I looked it up, that word in the Hebrew is the word rakov. I couldn't hardly spell it or pronounce it. I had to copy it. But that word is used many times in your King James Bible. And it's the same word as brood, as a chicken, a hen will brood over her nest. So I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar this morning, barely got English down. But I've been a Baptist preacher long enough to know something about chickens. I put many of them to bed. And I'm saying, and I understand, a chicken will brood over an egg. And it's the same word that God used here, that God moved. He brooded over this world. And when I saw that, and I said, I'm going to have to look deeper into that. And I studied more into it. And as a hen broods over her nest, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep in this world. As a matter of fact, listen, any of you ever had chickens? I've had chickens before. And if you've ever had one or seen them, you'll understand. When an old hen gets broody, she ain't got but one thing in mind, and that's sitting on her chicken eggs. And listen, as a matter of fact, when a hen is broody, you can't keep them from sitting on them eggs. That's all they want to do. You can't change their mind. You can't get them distracted. I mean, when they're broody, their mind is set on sitting on those eggs and watching over and protecting those eggs. And if a hen ain't broody, you can't get them to sit on that nest. But an old hen, when she is brooding, in a brooding state of mind, you can't keep her. You can't keep her off of it. You ever been out to a chicken coop before daylight? This happened to me one time, and I won't forget it. I remember going to check, see if there's eggs in the chicken coop, and the sun hadn't come up yet and popped its head. And there I got in that chicken coop. And I went to check, got close to check and see if there was eggs. And I discovered something besides an egg. It was a snake in the chicken pen. Snakes love them eggs. And it's scary. I don't like snakes when I can see them. But in the dark, I will hurt somebody or myself over a snake. When a hen has a mind to brood, though, she won't even get up for a snake. She'll flap her wings and she'll claw and peck and squall, and even an old snake can't move her off her nest when she's brooding. You ain't lived until you got caught up in a chicken coop and find a snake in the dark. If that ever happened to you, you know there ain't but one kind of snake in that situation. It's a rattle-headed copper moccasin mixed with a boa constrictor. It's bad news. That's right. And after you kill it, it's just a little black snake. But during that time, you could have called the National Geographic out to see and inspect that snake. It was bad in the dark. But it ain't moved that old hen off his roost. You know why a hen gets broody and stirs around and sits on that nest and protects it? Because she wants to. It's as simple as that. There's no grand equation to this thing. A hen simply gets broody because she wants to. And that's the only reason. And when she gets that mind and wants to, there ain't nothing in the world that's going to change her mind or make her not want to. Now, do you know this morning why God moves and moved on this world? It's because He wanted to. He didn't have to. He wasn't begged to and pleaded with and bargained with. No, God moved upon this world and in my world and in yours simply because He wanted to. He brooded over me and you. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 13:34? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. You know what he's saying? He said, I wanted to brood over you. I wanted to move in your world. I wanted to stir in your life. I wanted to sit down in your world. You would not let me. I wonder how many times we've been guilty of telling God we didn't want Him to come sit down in our world. Not to brood over us. Not to lord over us. There might be somebody here this morning that says, I have a marriage I need God to move in. I have a lost love when I need God to brood over and move in. I have a personal issue. My mind's battling with me. I have some issue in the flesh and I need God to move. It may be something nobody else knows about. I've got good news for you this morning. As bad as you want God to move, He wants to move way more than you want Him to move. Oh, yes. Do you realize this morning when that hen sits down, those eggs can't do nothing for the hen. No, it's all the hen doing for the eggs. It's not even a reciprocal relationship. Everything that is transferred during this process is not from the eggs to the hen, it's from the hen to the eggs. The protection, the warmth, the care, it's all from the hen to the eggs. It's all for the good of the eggs. And even in warm temperatures, those eggs will freeze to death without the warmth that comes from that sitting hen brooding over them. There's way too many predators and way too many enemies to those eggs before those eggs could ever hatch or be born. There must be a transfer from the hen to the eggs. And can I say we can do nothing for Him? He don't need us, but oh, how we need Him to brood over us and to work and move in our lives. I remember when my children, my girls were just small and wanting them to take them first steps. And I'd grab them by the hands and stand over them and I'd walk them. And finally I'd take one hand off and hold them by the hand. And finally they'd take, on their own, they'd take a step. It wasn't long. That little baby would turn into a toddler and boy, they'd be just walking all around, all over the place. And they'd get out ahead of me at times. But them little old legs would wear out faster than mine. And they'd get ahead of me and they'd look around and throw them arms up and say, Daddy, carry me. Hold me, Daddy. Lift me up, Daddy. And I can tell you this morning, there was never a time that I'd look at them and say, no, do it on your own. No, as an earthly father, I'd pick my children up and lift them up when they were too tired to walk. And ain't you glad we have a God this morning that will come and He wants to lift us. He wants to move in our life and lift us up and carry us way more than we want and need and feel to be carried. Yes, we need Him to move, but He wants to move. Yes. I thought about this text and I thought how many of us earthly fathers have wanted to carry our children, but our earthly father so much more wants to carry us. Yes, you need God to move as well as I do and to lift us, and we want Him to, but ain't you glad we have a God who wants to way more than we. He said, how off would I? But you would not. Why wouldn't we let Him? He simply wants to protect and to develop us and move on our behalf. Thirdly, this morning and finally, not only the world that God moves on and the way that God moves, but the word He speaks when He moves. And this is something I've known my whole life, Christian life at least. And the more mature I get as a Christian, the older I get as a Christian, the more these two things are held together. It's always this way. When God moves, He always has something to say. Amen. The word He speaks when He moves. Verse 2 said, the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. Water in the Word of God, as you know, is a picture of God's Word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By the washing of the water of the Word of God. We have a very clear picture of the Spirit of God moving upon the water of God, the Word of God. God doesn't move in our lives just so we can say, hallelujah. God moved, not just for some emotional feeling. Oh, God moved, and we'll shout and we'll have a good time. That's not what it's all about. I'm for shouting. I'm for having a good time, but I want to say this morning, there's more to God moving than just having an emotional experience. Getting goosebumps on your back. Listen, we need a real move of God that's divorced from just some emotional feeling that dies when that emotion dies. No, we need God's Word to come rushing in behind that mighty moving that will change us. It's God's Word that hung this world into existence. It wasn't some emotional experience. God doesn't move just so we can get goosebumps and jump and shout. No, when God moves, it's because He has a Word He wants to speak and instill in our lives. You know, there's churches this morning all over the country and the world that are in two ditches. That's the truth. One ditch is they want a mighty move of God, but they don't want to have nothing to do with the Word of God. Oh, we just want to have a good singing service. It was so good the preacher didn't get to preach. I know that happens, but that ought not to be the rule of thumb. We should want a word from God. But there is a ditch that people are all about emotionalism and feeling good and the Spirit moving, but never no word. That's dangerous. That's a ditch. And then on the other end, there's churches that's so it's dead as cracker juice. It's dry. And there's no moving. They know the Word. They got it memorized. But there's no moving. And that's another ditch. But there in the middle is where we need. We need the moving of God and we need the Word from God. And those two are never divorced when God's doing it. Just like right here in the first, when God starts out, He shows us when He moves, He follows that up with His Word. Yes. It's not one or the other. It ain't either or. We need the Spirit of God to move so that we can hear the Word of God when He speaks. Amen. The Spirit of God moved and immediately following, look at verse 3, and God said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, right on the back of that thing. I mean, it was the caboose coming up. God will speak when His Spirit moves. Yes. And if we turn Him out or tune Him out before that word comes, we have sold God short, we've cut Him off too soon, we've hit the mute button way too early. God has a word to speak to His people. And we need the Spirit of God to move and to agitate and to arrest our heart and get us in tune so He can speak His word into our life. 10 times in chapter 1 of Genesis chapter 1, we see that phrase, and God said. And God said, and God said, and He moved, and then He said, He moved, and then He said. And it's the same pattern today. God operates the same way today. He will move, and then He will say. Yes. That's what God does still today. He's still moving. He's still saying. Every time I can remember God really moving in my life, it was always followed by Him speaking to me through His Word. Yes. I remember September the 21st, 1991. God moved on my heart. He stirred in my soul and showed me I was lost and on my way to hell. I mean, it troubled me. I still believe in all-time Holy Ghost conviction. I don't think you can get saved apart from the moving of God. I'm not a Calvinist, but I listen to me. God better move on you and in your world and show you it's worthless and empty before you'll ever want to get saved. God makes the first move. And if you try to get saved without God moving, you did not get saved. He's the major part of the equation of you getting saved. You can't get saved without Him being there. If He don't reveal to you you're lost, you have no hope of getting saved. But on September 21st, 1991, Brother Jimmy, the Holy Ghost of God moved in my world and revealed to me. I was lost. And followed that up with His Word. He spoke to my heart and gave me good Word of God to show me my need of a Savior, my need to get saved and born again to the family of God. And on that day, I got gloriously saved because God moved into my world and spoke to my heart from His Word. Hallelujah. I remember going down to the altar at Brown's Chapel and God stirred my heart and then spoke to me one word. It wasn't long after that. Preach. I was too young and dumb to argue. I just said, yes, Lord. And it's been all those years later. I ain't lived up to it. I ain't been perfect. But God stirred my heart and spoke into my heart His Word and said, preach His Word. And to this day, I'm still preaching because of that Word. God spoke to me because He moved in my life and I listened and said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saying when God stirs, He speaks right after. Yes. I remember standing under a car in Augusta, Georgia. It was actually, what's the name of that place where Mike Brown's place is at? What's that little town? Clearwater. Clearwater. And I was working on a car, and the phone rang, and this man said, hey, I heard you preach 5 minutes in a chapel service at college. Could you come preach for us this Wednesday night? I said, yeah. And the rest of that day, the Lord got to moving and stirring my heart. And I didn't know what it was. It was just a Wednesday night, last minute thing. And I walked in, and Jenny walked in. I don't remember if the girls was with us or not. We walked in, and it was, you talking about a liberal church. God, it was rough, brother. They wasn't nothing King James about it. They wasn't nothing old-time Holy Ghost feel about it. It was liberal, loose, and wasn't a Bible in the place, didn't know a missionary. I mean, it was not an old-time independent Baptist church. But the Holy Ghost of God had already moved in my heart and started stirring in my heart and spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go and preach the Word of God. And I stood that night and lightning struck the church and the power went out. It was black as it was dark in the church. No windows. Pitch dark. I just heard murmuring. I said, all right, y'all get up and go out in the fellowship hall. They thought it was getting out early. I said, just go out in the fellowship hall. First time we'd been there. And sat down in them chairs. I went out there. God had done moved in my heart and spoke to me and gave me a word. And I stood up and I believe 7 people got saved that night. And they said, would you come back Sunday? And God was still stirring and working. And I said, this ain't nothing I want. I've done left a place like that. God's done shown me better. I don't want to go to there. There's another church, a good solid independent Baptist church, calling me. And God didn't speak to me. God didn't stir in my heart. But God said, I want you to go there. And He was stirring and speaking to me. And I went back. More got saved. 11 got saved. And for 12 years, because God stirred in my heart and spoke to me clearly. No telling. Only eternity will tell all the souls that were saved, the lives that were changed. And this morning, I thought about this and rejoiced. This morning, in Hepzibah, Georgia, there's a young man that took the pulpit. I trained him. I trained him right. And it's a solid, independent, Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing, mission-minded, solid church. Amen. Because God moved and God spoke. Amen. And I obeyed. Amen. And that's God's formula.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And not only does God stir and God speak, but last, God sees. It goes on and says, and God spoke and God said. Then it says, and God saw that it was good.
Amen.
Yeah. God saw. Ain't you glad? Listen, I've been preaching, I don't know, however long it's been. It's after 1991. And I can look back, since God saved me and called me to preach, stirred in my heart, spoke to my heart, He's been seeing to it that it was good ever since. And I can look back over the years, 29 plus years, and see how God would stir and speak. And then He would see to it. He would give the increase. He would fill the emptiness. He would make that wasteland fruitful. God can speak and move where there's no hope, and He can bring hope to any situation. He's a God that moves, and we need that God who moved in creation to a place that was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We need that God to invade people's lives in 2020. You need Him to invade your family. I need Him down at my house. I need the God of heaven to move in my family. I need Him to move in my heart. We need Him to move in this church. We need Him to move in this community. Listen, we've heard enough preaching to do us till Jesus comes. We've heard enough preaching to save the world. You know what we're missing? It ain't preaching, it ain't singing. We are missing the moving of God. We need God to move. Amen. No, I'm not talking about fabricated. Listen, we can't make it up. It ain't spiritual calisthenics that's going to get us through. We need a mighty move of God, a genuine God move. Then He speaks, and He will see to it that your family's good, that your life's good, that your problems are solved, that this church will succeed. We need God. I need God in my own life. You need God to move. How long has it been? Let me ask you in closing. How long has it been since God's moved in your own personal devotion to Him? Time out. Just for a moment. Take your eyes off the preacher. Take your eyes off the problems with the church, the Sunday school teacher, the song leader. And just focus on, when's the last time God moved in my life personally? Because you can't blame me for God not moving in your own personal life. I know I ain't the best preacher in the world. Far from it. But that ain't stopped one bit of God moving in your own life.
Amen.
How off would I? But you would not. How long has it been since God moved personally?
It's good, preacher.
Good.
And how long can we live without the moving of God?
Yes, sir.
Yes. We need Him to move. I'm telling you, this church desperately needs a move of God. I cannot fabricate that. I cannot make it up. I ain't gonna work it up. I'm about sick of worked up religion. Emotionalism gone. I could care less, because it don't last no time. There's no real fruit to that. But when God moves and speaks, it lasts. There's something real to it. And that's what we need. This earth is 6,000+ years old because God moved. And it's still spinning right where God wants it to. Because God moved and spoke, and He saw to it. He's still seeing to it. And that's what we need. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the moving of God. Lord, just like You moved in an earthquake this morning, I pray You'd shake us up, Lord. I pray You'd stir us, oh God. Speak to our hearts, oh Lord. See to it that it's good. Lord, I pray You'd bring fruit for Your glory. God, I pray if there's anybody lost that's never felt the moving of God to reveal to them their condition, Lord, of being lost without You. I pray this would be the glad day they would turn to You, Lord, and let You speak life into them and eternal life into them. Save sinners today. God, for every family, for every Christian, for every mother and father, Lord, for every child and daughter, I pray, oh God, You'd help us to see how desperately, Lord, we need a touch from You, God, for You to move in our own lives. God, I pray You'd burden us in this church that we would see our need to have You move in a mighty way here, God. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto us. Speak to us, oh God, afresh. See to it, oh God, that it's good, Lord. God, I pray in Jesus' name, have Your way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are in the altars praying. You do business with God as she plays. If I can help you in any way this morning, I'd be honored to. There's only so much I can do, but there's a God in heaven who's willing and ready to move in mighty power in your own life, in your own troubles, in your own situation. Would you come? Call out to the God of heaven. Say, move, God, in my life. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth thee. Would you come? If you're lost today, would you come? Let the God of heaven save you. He will save you today. Would you come? Mama, Daddy, is it worth a trip to the altar to ask God to move in your child's life? That teenage boy, that teenage girl is drifting far from God. How desperate are you to see God move and speak to their hearts? Stir and speak to their hearts. See to it that something's done that's eternal. How oft would I have gathered you, but you would not? God's calling some to gather in this altar this morning, but you would not. Does it matter to you? How much does it matter that God moves? How much does it matter? Oh God, how much does it matter that our children get more than repeated religion? Oh, that they would see and experience something real and genuine. Would you come? How oft would I gather you, but you would not? God wants to move. God's willing to move. Would you come? Say, Lord, please move. Move in my life. Move in my family's life. Move in my child's life. Move in my marriage, Lord. Move in my church. Move in my community. Would you come? Some might be saying, Lord, I need you to move in my lost heart. Deal with me again. Speak to me again, oh Lord. I know a man that traveled all around the country, finding every preacher he could find, going to every meeting he could find, because God quit speaking to him. He was lost, and he knew he was lost. And the Holy Spirit of God quit dealing with him. And he chased and looked for everywhere he could find for God to speak to him. How terrible, how scary of a thing for God to be finished talking with you. God's wanting to move and speak in your heart. Would you come? While he's calling, would you come? Oh God, do not pass them by, Lord. People doing business, would you come? Families getting help, would you come? Sinner friend, come. Come. Young person, teenager, come. How long has it been since God moved in your life? Don't count on mom and daddy. You need your own relationship with Christ. You need God to move in your own heart. Would you come? Get serious with God. Would you come? Amen. Amen, Lord. Help them. Touch them. Oh, Jesus, help. Have your way. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Would you come? Oh, would you come? Have your way, Lord. Move, I pray. God, move. Speak to our hearts, Lord. See to it that it's good. I beg of you, Lord. Stir our hearts. Move upon the empty situations, God. Move in the empty lives of people. Worthless situations, oh God, I pray. Lord, I need you. Oh God, I need you to move in my own heart, my own life, Lord. I beg of you, God, move. Manifest yourself, Lord, in this church, God. How desperately stand in need of help from you, Lord. I pray. Touch. Have your will. Have your way. Amen.